Hi all, welcome to Chat and Flick, the movie and TV podcast. I'm your host, Carl Pierce, and today we have Lee Stackpool.
Hello.
And we have Richard Earlham.
Hello.
And today's episode, we are talking all things aviation with the recent release of the fantastic, apparently fantastic film, Top Gun Maverick. It's getting rave reviews, even from our very own James Brown. We're talking about aviation films and any films to do with planes, helicopters and hot air balloons. So, who wants to start? Who wants to say, just define aviation film for us without saying what I've just said?
I don't know if our listeners know, I kind of choose the topic, so yeah, I'm to blame for this. But I think it's clear that in the Top Gun films, the plane takes centre stage and it's about the flying. And so basically, I'd rather we stay away from things like Flight Plan, which is the Jodie Foster film. And what's the one where it's at the terminal? Where,
yeah, Airport film.
Yeah, yeah. Even Catch Me If You Can. You know, I know it's a good film and non-stop and all things like that, but if we can sort of keep it to the aircraft is the star. So what's the most realistic one? What's the thing that gets the hairs on the back of your neck buzzing? What's the one that wants you want to go and join the Air Force type of thing? So that's what that's because, I mean, I don't know about you. Let's go back to the beginning of what you were saying, Carl. So this is off the back of Top Gun Maverick, which is why I thought this would make a good topic. Yeah. Top Gun, whenever I watch it, I mean, I was going to go into the RAF or I was going to go into teaching and teaching got the better of me. But when we go to air shows, you know, you just get this buzz. You get the hairs on the back of your neck. And you get that when you're watching things like Top Gun. There were a couple of films back in the day. There was Iron Eagle. That was a flight one. I can't really think of many. I think that they were released very, very similar period. So, but Iron Eagle.
Mid-80s.
Iron Eagle didn't copy it. Top Gun was just like, wow. But, well, yeah, exactly. Exactly, really. I think it says a lot. I can see the picture now in my head.
Same year, actually. 86.
Was it exactly? Right. But I think maybe if they weren't released together, it would have been much better. But I think there was a sequel as well. I think it was called Iron Eagle 2.
Oh, there was five of them, wasn't there?
Were there five of them?
I'm sure there was a few of them, because there was a Family Guy joke about it.
Right. So you've got Iron Eagle, Iron Eagle 2, Iron Eagle 4, Aces, Iron Eagle 3, Iron Eagle Maverick. I don't know if that's a joke. hang on, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, and then I don't know what that is, but yeah. So there's a few Iron Eagle films, yeah? So what's the premise of them? Let's have a little look. So as I haven't seen these. A young pilot plans a rescue mission when his father, an Air Force colonel, is shot down over enemy territory and captured.
So it sounds a bit like
Uncommon Valor with Gene Hackman, where they go back into Vietnam to try and rescue his son, and they find out there's American POW still in there. And it introduced Don Swayze, Patrick Swayze's brother.
Is that the one with Owen Wilson in it?
No, Owen wasn't going to be even been born when that
I wouldn't
was too ancient. Yeah.
Okay, well, should we go back to Top Gun? Should we stick with Top Gun as our starting point?
Yes, because it was the first proper, really good, the aircraft was the star. Obviously, in this one, it was the aircraft being a plane. So we've said aircraft, so we can include everything. The aircraft, of course, was a plane, and it was amazing. It was absolutely stunning. The flight sequences, stunning. One part was a little far-fetched where he was flying inverted and he was like about 2 inches away from his cockpit because, of course, your tail would have clashed. But apart from that, you know, you got to have a little bit of artistic license. It was incredible. And we even got the music. I mean, we've all talked about the soundtrack to it. I know that we had the soundtrack to it. Everybody knows the music to it.
Yeah.
Everything about it was brilliant. Absolutely everything.
And you've got your love story in there as well, so a bit of interest for the couples and things. And Tom Cruise, he's easy on the eye.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still a grizzled man, isn't he?
He is. I don't know how old he was in 86.
12.
Definitely
12.
12. He was 12 years old.
Yeah.
Definitely the height of his powers in 86, you know. And like all the women fancy him. All the men want to be him. It's a cracker film. And it is high octane in it, you know. It's all macho and butch in it, you know. I'm thinking that scene when they're playing beach volleyball, and you know they're all got the tops off, and they're all like sort of, you know, peacocking, aren't they? They're all sort of like, you know, and all this. It's just like, it's just masculine. It's men. But the actual planes and the dogfights are spectacular. They still look fantastic these days. I mean, it's obviously all real, you know. There's no or very little sort of special effects, I'd say. But it looks fantastic as well.
But although it was so good, the rating 6.9 on IMDb isn't really that good, which is a bit strange. Because I don't know who's putting it down. What type of people, what type of viewers? It's a difficult one. I don't know. I can't comment on that, but it should be higher than that because it is good. And I think it sets the bar for all the others. And it's always going to, they're always going to compare to it, aren't they?
Yeah. What are you going to say then, Lee? Sorry.
I think it was one of them films when the 80s were over in the Cold War. I think Tom Cruise even turned around and said, you know, that was a movie for that time. And now, unfortunately, with aerial combat and things like that. So I suppose a lot of them negative ratings maybe were like in the 90s and things when they viewed it as that. Like, I remember when we done our podcast on Arnie films and 80s hypermasculinity films that probably haven't aged greatly. Apart from with fellas like us who just enjoy film and entertainment, I think it's gone full circle. I think that's why everyone does such a buzz about the new one.
It's a pity James isn't on because he's the only one who's seen it and he says it. But have we put his little review off?
Well, I was about to say, here's his little mini review now.
Hiya everyone, me and Beck have just been to see Top Gun 2 or Maverick Top Gun, whatever you want to call it, and I'm in a bit of a state of shock, to be honest, if I'm being brutally, brutally honest, because I kid you not, it's the best film I've ever seen on the big screen, by a mile. Like, it had everything, emotion, nostalgia, action, oh my god, it was just unbelievable, honestly, romance, it had everything, it was brilliant. If you haven't seen it, go and see it. The best film, and I quote, I have ever seen on the big screen in the cinema. Obviously, like films like The Godfather and all that are amazing, but I weren't alive when they were out. That is the best film I've ever seen on the big screen. Wow. Wow.
So we've just heard it.
Wow.
I mean, that's some statement, that, isn't it? Like, the best film he's ever seen on the big screen.
Yeah.
I imagine,
but it is James, though.
I said to him, was it like when you watched Creed 2 and it was basically just a continuation of Rocky 4? You got all that like nostalgia of the original film with new content. I suppose it's got all of that.
Yeah. And it's another one of these films, nostalgia films that we've seen. You know, certainly we talked about it this year. I mean, things like The Matrix, you know, Ghostbusters Afterlife, all these films which... You know, the Star Wars films, they all hark back to the originals. They've got the same feel, same story sometimes, just sort of updated, but sort of try and push it on with modern technology. And that seems what this is like, you know. When I went to see Doctor Strange the other week, they had a good 10, 15 minute maybe trailer to it. And it was like a 10 minute section of the film when they're all doing the dogfights. And you know what? It looks amazing. And that was in the IMAX as well. And it does look amazing. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. But, I don't know. We'll see if it's the best film I've ever seen on the big screen. I don't know about that, but sure it's very, very good.
I think probably where its appeals come from as well, like the original, it was of a time when there was no real CGI to fake this aerial combat, so they had to use like real planes, real cameras in the planes, and each film is the same. So probably going back to basics for like the aviation films, that they've actually used real planes, and Tom Cruise is flying the plane in this as well.
Yeah, it's his plane as well. It's his.
Yeah.
He owns it.
I mean, yeah. You got Tom, well done.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it? Well, just looking at IMDb, it's 8.6 currently, Maverick.
That's a lot, isn't it?
That's good, that, like, you know what I mean?
That's huge.
Yeah. So, we will give a review on it when we've all seen it. But, yeah, you've had James's opinion, so James highly rated, doesn't he? Yeah. So, should we stick with sort of the sort of military, if you like, the Air Force and things like that? So, are there any other films like that, that sort of... I know you're not as good, but we'd recommend.
Well, I think if we go back in time a little bit, as in its setting, but forward in time for the actual film, 1990, Memphis Belle, I thought that was a really, really good film, as in it showed what life was like in the plains. And if you've not seen it, go and watch it, because it's a hard watch, and it shows that things weren't nice up there. Things were freezing, freezing cold. You were stuck under the belly of a plane if you were in one particular. So I think the gunners now, I don't know, Lee, you might be able to help me out here, follows basically the story of the Memphis Belle crew, doesn't it? World War II bomber. And they're on a bombing run. And basically they just keep getting shot down. The fighters are there to help and support them. But it's obviously following this one crew. Big stars in it. But it goes through all the, so you've got one guy sitting right at the front, like a sitting duck. There's one in the belly of the plane. There's two either side in the fuselage, and there's one in the tail. And it's very, very realistic. Really, really good. Takes you as the viewer right into the plane. So that would be my sort of World War II film, if you like. So Top Gun's going to be the modern one. World War II, Memphis Belle is absolutely stunning. And again, it centres on the plane. Obviously, a little bit about the crew and their relationships with each other, because they've got to be a tight-knit crew, but also how they help each other get through things. And obviously about their families and their loved ones and friends down on the ground as well. But yeah, it's a really good film. I was well impressed the first time I watched it.
Yeah, I remember the it's Bremen. Are the bomb and Bremen in it?
God, I can't remember.
Bomb in Germany, yeah, somewhere in Germany.
I can't remember where that's at the beginning, actually, where you've got the team of rookies and the Messerschmitts come, and the plane goes in half. You see the plane just split in half and start falling out the sky.
And you can hear them on the radio screaming as well.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still in contact with them, and they're dealing with this. And also it centres on the ages of these people, that they're like 16, 17. And what they, you know, you see what 16, 17-year-olds are doing these days, and it's like quite different what they had to go through.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, isn't it?
Mm.
Crazy. Like, any more, Lee, have you got one, like, military-wise, what you might recommend?
Yeah, it's the one I was telling you about before, Carl. It's a long title. It's Orowa Kimi no Tamenokoso Shinryuku. Translated. For those I love. Now, I watched this when I was studying Japanese, because it was all in Japanese. I couldn't get an English subtitle, and it's still difficult to get an English subtitle for this film because of the controversy surrounding it. It was about the kamikaze squadron of the Army Air Corps during the Second World War of the Imperial Japanese military. It got accused in some Western media of being a little bit revisionist. It actually wasn't, to be fair. It was quite fair. A lot of time after the Second World War, it was like these guys just volunteered to go and do this because they were nutters and stuff. And like what Richard was saying, they were young aviators who were just told, yeah, you're going out and doing this now because we need to deter an invasion. So, yeah, this is how you're going to do it. And was it like they were in a position to disobey? And the whole film's about that. And the end of it, you use a lot of battleships, Second World War battleships and planes and things for the final, where you actually see this attack happen. And as with most of the attacks, they don't really hit anything. They mostly just get blown up. Things that it's about the appalling loss of life on all sides. And it's dealt with the Army Air Corps, really. And it was based on a book by a Japanese lady from the cafe next to the military base who used to serve them. And she was listening to all the stories about like when they were telling it, yeah, this, we've been told we're going to do this. Don't really know how to feel about that. Like. And that was it. And it was really interesting. I went to the museum. It's a real controversial museum in Tokyo, at the Imperial Shrine there. And they've got some of these planes and some of the naval. The Navy used jet-powered gliders that they used to tow on the bottom of bomber aircraft. I don't think any of them managed to hit the targets. It was just another waste of young lives from the Japanese forces. But this film sort of dealt with that. I think now you can probably get a subtitled version online in English. Like I said, I watched it in Japanese, kept having to pause it, rewind it, took me about 5 or 6 hours to watch it, and probably got about 30% of the dialogue. But from a film perspective, brilliant.
Yeah. And what year was this from, Lee?
That was 2007, that film. I remember reading an article that it was causing quite a lot of fuss internationally, with the Japanese getting accused of like revisionism about the Second World War. They've been guilty of that a couple of times, but this was probably one that the film itself was probably pretty true, really, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really fascinating, isn't it? Rich, like you're saying there, Richard, about like, you know, 16, 17, 18 year olds.
Mm.
You know, that's what these lads were, weren't they? I would say young, you know, prime of their lives, just, you know, starting out the life, and then they had to do all this horrible stuff. It's crazy, isn't it? Crazy. Well, one for me, in terms of, like, World War II tends to be is, I was trying to rack my head about it, and I couldn't think of any that stood out, and I thought, of course, the Dam Busters. It's a fantastic film. And it's
I'm just writing down a couple of real true life films, and that's one of them.
Yeah.
What? It takes it through everything and what they dealt with and how they overcame things. Brilliant film. Yeah. Go on, sorry.
It's just a great film. I mean, I haven't seen it for a long time. It's got 7.4 on IMDb. It tells the story of the crew, RAF pilots who literally had dams. I'm not too sure where it was. Germany's, was it the Ruhr Valley?
Yeah, it was the Ruhr Valley, yeah.
And the mission is to destroy these dams, but obviously they can't just use a missile to shoot it right at the dam for whatever reason. And ingeniously, they come up with these bouncing bombs. So they drop these bombs on the water, on the reservoir leading up to the dam, and these bombs sort of like bounce through the water and blow the dam up. And yeah, it's a fantastic film. And what always sticks in my brain, I mean, I've seen it for a long time, but what sticks in my brain is that scene. Well, them scenes when they're dropping them bombs.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the way they did it, so they sort of, like, painted it out. It's like a bit of felt tip on the pen, on the film, and you got this little black dot just bouncing along the water. But, yeah, really good film. Really, you know, fantastic sort of story, real-life, true-life story about...
It was all the problems they had to overcome.
Yeah.
Because they had to get it to bounce, to bounce over the defences, because if they were going to just drop a torpedo, something could stop the torpedo.
Yeah.
They had to get it to bounce along the right, and everything had to be perfect.
The right trajectory, because otherwise it might bounce over or not near it.
And the how they got the aircraft the right height, and that was in a maths question once, or it was in a book or textbook, that they had lights at the end of the wingtips, which were pointing down, and when the lights met each other, they were at the right height, because, of course, at night, they didn't know what their height was.
Yeah.
And brilliant little things like that. How did they overcome everything? And they did it.
And I remember, like, obviously, when they're trying to work out what they're doing, and they're shooting the ping pong ball through the water and things like that, and they're trying to get it to hit the end bar or whatever. It's just a great film. I mean, 1955 as well. Black and white. It's a British classic. And obviously, you can't mention the film without mentioning the actual iconic theme tune.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
It's just fantastic, isn't it? And I can't remember how true this is. You might maybe want to use no, but in the actual film, the bombs look like cylinders.
Yeah.
They look like spheres. But in actual reality, they were spheres, but in the film, they look like cylinders. No, the other way around. In the film, they look like spheres. But in reality, they were actually cylinders.
Yeah.
And in the film, because of the Official Secrets Act, they couldn't show what they actually looked like. And that's why they sort of look like they're being coloured in on the film. I don't know how true that is, but I'm sure I've heard that somewhere. So in the 50s, because it was only 10 years after, you know, the war had ended, they couldn't divulge the secret of how they got it to bounce.
Yeah. Things were still secret, weren't they?
Yeah. It's fascinating. A great film. Wouldn't mind watching that again. 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's some going. All right, any more sort of war ones?
Well, sticking with that era, one that sticks in my mind quite a lot was Reach for the Sky, about Douglas Bader, who, do we know it?
No, I've never heard of it.
Douglas Bader, he was a Spitfire or a pilot in the Second World War. Came down one time, crashed, he had to be dragged from the wreckage, he lost both legs, and this is obviously back in the times where you don't, you know, losing legs, that's it, that's the end of your life. But he carried on, so he had metal legs, not like your prosthetic legs that you have these days. and it's like the spirits that they had, that they just kept going on. It's a little bit like what we were talking about in all of these World War II films. But he just kept going on, and it was like another little challenge for him. Oh, no, I'll be up flying again before you know it. But it has been really well played by Kenneth Moore, who's playing Douglas Bader. But I think one reason why it sticks in my mind is that my dad used to run the cadet force at his school, and that they were visited by Douglas Bader. So, you know, that's obviously, and this is a childhood film, I remember it from a long time ago. Got 7.2, again, a really good, realistic film. Definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I have seen this now you mentioned it. I didn't know what it was called, but I do remember it.
The way he used to walk, and he'd have to throw his legs forward, because, of course, it was a very rudimentary system back then.
Yeah.
Just kept going on and on.
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic film, actually. Yeah, I have seen that one. Hasn't he got a little dog or something with him as well? That's his best mate.
That rings a bell.
Yeah, it's good. And obviously, again, based on a true story, based on him. Yeah.
The final one I want to mention about World War II, and I can't remember what this one's called, although it's a little bit, I think it's going to be after World War II, I'm not sure. It was about, I'm having a look now to see if I can find it, but it was about the jet engine era. And it was very sad in that, I can't find it on IMDb or even the internet full stop, so I might have dreamt this, so apologies then. But it's about how they came up with the jet engine, and it ends in absolute tragedy, this film does, because I think that the guy who invented it with his wife, they move on to the airbase, and while he's test flying it, it basically crashes and dies, and how they continued after that. And of course, going back to the jet engine, Frank Whittle, I mean, the sad thing is, of course, any inventions you came up with back then, tough, you basically sold, well, you couldn't sell them, it just got given to the government because it was times of war. But I'm going to rack my brain to find out what film this was, and if I remember it or if I come across it before this podcast is over, I will shout it out. But I remember just watching it. It was one of those films that's just on, another black and white film, another film just, you know, years within a decade after the war ended, and you know, still fresh in a lot of people's minds, because I don't know, I mean, how long were people still recovering from the war? They were rationing for years and years afterwards, weren't they?
Yeah.
So absolutely. It was still fresh in a lot of people's. I mean, 10 years ago is nothing now, is it?
No.
Let's face it, you know, sure. 2012 it would be for us guys. But no, I'm going to keep looking for this film because I want to find out what it is. Just came across it, watching it on a Saturday afternoon, and it's like, hey, this looks interesting. And this is... this is what I find we're not getting these days, is films that are interesting, like a documentary type film. Maybe there's just not the... that they do more real life, as in filmed there and then films, rather than a retrospective documentary type of film. But another cracking film, same era as the Dam Busters and the Reach for the Sky that we talked about. I will continue looking for it, though.
Good to try and find it. Good, good. Any more from, like, sort of war films with aviation? Early.
Okay, so come on. The same year Memphis Belle come out, there was one, and I think we mentioned this before, Kat. There was a film called Flight of the Interceptor, starring Danny Glover as aircraft carrier captain. It's also got Willem Dafoe, and it was based on a book by a guy who served on, it might have even been the Enterprise, the aircraft carrier, during the Vietnam War, although it's called a fictitious name in the film, I believe. And it's about how they were disgruntled with, they couldn't bomb targets they wanted because of politics. And in the film, they go and attack, like, the Communist Party headquarters in Hanoi or something on this mission.
Yeah, Hanoi it is,
They just come up with themselves, and it's totally embellished. It didn't really happen. But, yeah, it's kind of a Vietnam aviation film. They tried to take some cues from Top Gun. It was nowhere near as good as Top Gun. But it was it was entertainment. Danny Glover's in it as the ship's captain.
Danny Glover?
Yeah.
This rings a bell, you know. Flight of the Interceptor.
Yeah, in the end, someone gets shot down, so the rest
is of it. Flight of the Intruder, isn't it?
Flight of the Intruder, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, it's all right. I can't say I've seen it or ever heard of it. But yeah, it's got some big names in it.
Yeah. Tom Sizemore, as well, I believe. One of his first ones. Yeah. Now, that came out. Now, also, this film came out just before Operation Desert Storm kicked off as well, 1991. Actually, my 11th birthday, 2nd of August, 91. Pretty easy day to remember. There was also another a B-movie aviation film starring Tommy Lee Jones and Nick Cage called Wings of the Apache. And this wasn't planes, it was helicopters. And it was trying to get everyone excited about ground attack helicopters. And it would have been straight to DVD, apart from it had a couple of big names in it. And then suddenly Apache helicopters are all over international news attacking targets in the Gulf. two big ones that year, 1991.
I'll tell you what, the poster for that Wings of Apache looks great. But it's called something else on the poster. It's called Firebirds. It's called Firebirds on the poster.
Was that the American? Was that the American film version, and the UK was the Wings of the Apache? Let me have a look.
Yeah, maybe. Well, it says here, a rousing rock'em sock'em aerial adventure. If you enjoyed Top Gun, you'll have a great time.
It was released as Firebirds, alternative title Wings of the Apache, 1990. So it came out in 1991. I think it was on, I watched it on like a Blockbuster or something, and it was under the alternative title name, I'm wondering. But yeah, Firebirds or Wings of the Apache, depending on what country you seem to see it in.
Recommend it, Lee. Would you recommend it?
No. It's awful. It's awful. If you're really a big Nicolas Cage fan and you want to see some early over the top Cage, yeah, he wants to be the great. He wants to be basically like Maverick, but in helicopters. While the Apache helicopters still getting used quite well, this film was consigned to the history book weeks after it came out, like, because it's not great.
Yeah, don't watch that. Don't worry about this. We've made this film. Don't watch it. It's all right. It's fine. Put it in the cupboard. It's all right. It just belongs in the cupboard now. I don't want to watch it now. I think that poster's great. Yeah, it's like an orange background with the sun and then the helicopter's coming towards, like, the viewer. I think it looks great. Great poster.
It was. Also, it was around the time as well, if anyone had the Sega Mega Drive, you could actually get Desert Strike where you were
playing. Desert Strike, that was massive.
Film. A great game, sorry. Urban Strike, Desert Strike, Jungle Strike. Great games. Big fans. Alright, are we done with the war films for now? Any other stickouts?
The 633 Squadron, which I'm surprised nobody's mentioned, but I've never seen it, and we all know the soundtrack to that. But no, not seeing it.
No, what's that? I don't know. What's that?
You know that one.
Oh, right. Another British one, is it?
Brilliant music. Yeah. But I've not seen it.
Yeah, back in the days when we were good at everything.
Yeah.
We thought all our films said we were anyway.
Yeah, oh, of course. Well, are we classing, what about things like Black Hawk Down? Are we classing that as an aviation film?
I was looking at that, and I don't think it really centres. It centres on more of the what's the opposite of capturing? The rescuing, that's the word. The rescuing of the people. I mean, to be honest, I was astonished the first time I saw that at the effects on it, that they were amazing. But no, we're not allowed to do that. But seeing as you're bringing up helicopters, a couple of years before Top Gun was Blue Thunder. Now, Carl, I sent you a link to this because you'd never heard of it before, had you?
Did you?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Was this the television series about the police helicopter?
Well, it was a film. It was a police helicopter. Blue Thunder was a police helicopter.
An experimental police helicopter learns the sinister implications of the new vehicle.
Yes, there you go.
You sent me the link for this, you know. What
yes, I did. Well, I'm going to screenshot it and send it to you. It was on the chat. So basically, Roy Scheider's of Jaws fame. So he'll be coming off Jaws after Jaws, 1983, this is, I think, if memory serves me right. And then his co-pilot is Daniel Stern from Home Alone, the taller of the bandits, of the wet bandits. And I think it's a great film because it delves into that technology. So it's basically like Airwolf, but it was before Airwolf. But it was very much a stealth helicopter that the police were using for crime. And then we've got, who was the star of Clockwork Orange?
Malcolm McDowell.
Malcolm McDowell. He's the sinister, evil, what do we call the evil fellas in a film? Lee, you're good at this.
Antagonist.
So he's the antagonist. He's the one who's up to something. But it's great because it's got whisper mode so they can hover and do all sorts of things without people hearing them because they're in a helicopter. It's going to make a hell of a lot loud noise. All the technology involved. Obviously, nowadays, it's going to look a little bit dated. But they've got thermal imaging. They've got ridiculously sensitive microphones that can listen in on things. Obviously, the weaponry in it. So the bulk of the film is about the helicopter, but then of course there is something else going on. There is the, as you said just then, Carl, the sinister outlook. But, so any more helicopter film is my question.
Good question. There was a TV series of Blue Thunder, you're right there, Lee.
Wow.
Yeah, 11 episodes the year after, so. I don't know if it's a continuation or whatever, but is it Dana Carvey in it? You know,
Wayne's World?
From Wayne's World, yeah. They're not Wayne's World. Yeah. So he's in it, which is strange. There you go. Helicopter movies. Go on, go for it.
Anything? There's not, is there? There's not a lot. There was an Airwolf film.
Yeah.
There was an Airwolf film, but that was it.
Airwolf's like got a good theme tune, hasn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like Airwolf on a Saturday afternoon.
But that I suppose it's because... I suppose it's because it's not got that fast thrill that your aeroplane films have got. Obviously, the jet ones have got. But I think now I probably prefer Airwolf to... Airwolf was much sleeker and everything, whereas Blue Thunder was very boxy and, like I say, like a self-fighter look. Lots of angles on it to bounce your radar off. But Airwolf did a film as well, I think.
Is that like sort of an extended pilot?
Yeah. I don't know. Not sure. But yeah, I'd like to see. I think helicopters are much more fascinating than anything else. And I think there needs to be more things on helicopters. But obviously, they see it's not worth it.
Yeah, they don't travel very fast, do they? They're not as exciting as a jet and things. And
no,
jet fighter and all that.
So that's that. That's the end of the aircraft, the end of the helicopter ones. So what were we up to now? About 1990? Anything after 1990?
Well, I was just having a little mooch there myself, and should we do some films that are set on the planes or set on...
Oh, go on.
So I think your favourite, Richard, should we start with your favourite?
Snakes on a Plane?
Snakes on a Plane.
I've never seen it either.
Amelia watched it. She said it was really funny.
Yeah. I've heard when Samuel Jackson signed up for it was called something else. I can't remember what the word was. Like the working title was Snakes on a Plane, and it was going to change to like something. I can't remember what it was. But like, let's say Venom. They were going to call it like something like that. And Samuel Jackson said, if you change the name of this film, I'm walking, and I'll take, I'll take me free. I'm not bothered. And so he kept it as Snakes on a Plane. But yeah, it's just a stupid concept, isn't it? But it sort of stuck with people. And as you say, daily, a lot of people enjoyed it. I can't say I've seen it. There was I think there was a big, like, sort of fans, like, sort of, not poll, was it? Sort of, like, not protest, what's the word? When you're trying to get something through. The fans wanted the rating a bit higher so that Samuel L. Jackson could swear in it. So originally, I don't think there was anybody swearing. I think it was going to be like sort of like, let's say, a 12A or whatever, and he wanted it bumped up to a 15 or whatever, so that he could say motherfucking planes. Motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane, or whatever he says. I don't know. I'm seeing it. Any more good ones set on a plane then, or an aeroplane?
We can't do comedies yet.
All right then.
I can't believe you haven't mentioned the Mac Daddy of 90s aviation films.
Go on.
Before he was the best first Flash superhero character, Vampire Hunter Blade, he was Passenger 57.
Oh God, yes.
Oh yeah.
What a film.
With what's her name? Oh, Hugh Grant's original girlfriend.
Yeah.
She Elizabeth was Haley.
Lovely. Yeah. Lady. Yeah. Gosh, I forgot about that.
It's a long time since I've seen that. What's the story? Is it terrorist, is it?
Yeah, it's almost off. It's almost 80s in its spirit. He's an air marshal.
That's right.
And there's some terrorist shenanigans, international criminal terrorist shenanigans. But, Wesley's there to sort it out.
Yes. You could say it's Die Hard on a Plane.
It effectively is Die Hard on a Plane.
Not a bad thing, by the way, not a criticism.
No, and it's, do you know what, I've seen it a number of times, and I can still remember the lines on it. It's over the top, it's cheesy, but it's great.
Yeah, good action film. Yeah, long time since I've seen that.
Yeah, doesn't take itself too seriously either.
Tom Sizemore in it again? Is it Sizemore or Sizemore?
It's Tom Sizemore. Or Sizemore. I don't know, we should, Tom, if you're listening.
Because
we
know he listens.
Yeah.
He loves it, doesn't he? He loves a plane, doesn't he, Tom?
Yeah, Tom's is Tom's Wesley's is he a supervisor or something? And Wesley just happens to be just on the plane. I think he's even off duty or something as well.
Yeah.
There's lots of good close quarter combat fighting. Just a shame about Blade 3, Wesley, you know what I mean?
I know. I was talking about that the other night on the other podcast. I know. Blade 3 is not great. It's all right. It's just not... Oh, Blade 1 and 2 are boss.
Blade 1 and 2 were boss, and then I don't know what they've done with Blade 3. I mean, Ryan Reynolds is in it. It should be good, but it just wasn't.
Yeah. He's a bit annoying, isn't he? I say I watched it last week, about 2 weeks ago now, and he's a bit annoying.
Yeah, there's just no need. There's no
I love Ryan Reynolds as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jessica Biel in it as well. Well, sticking with the sort of the terrorist theme, one I that's always stuck with me, and again, I haven't seen it for a long time, is Executive Decision.
What a film.
Yeah.
Doesn't somebody die within the first 10 minutes?
Yeah.
Big star. I can't remember who it is.
Steven Seagal, isn't he?
Yeah.
Because Steven Seagal's in it, and Kurt Russell. Is it Kurt Russell? Yeah.
Kurt Russell's the CIA planner. But doesn't usually go on missions. And Steven Seagal doesn't like him. I watched this with Dev about like 5 weeks ago. And Steven Seagal bullies him because there's a terrorist thing, and he's like, "Well, you're coming because you wrote this book on out plane to plane transport of people for special forces teams." And he's already unhappy with him anyway because this mission went sideways that Kurt Russell planned. So Kurt Russell's up there with Dr. Charles from Chicago Med. I'll remember his name. He's also in it. Bear with me a second.
Yeah, I mean, that, I say I haven't seen it in a long time, but that always sticks with me that either halfway or dead early on in the film, Seagal, who's the big star of the film, is brown bread.
Yes.
Brown bread.
Means dead. But yeah, I enjoyed that. And again, it's terrorists have took over the plane, haven't they? Or something along those lines.
This is one of these that, like you've just said, I haven't watched it since, for decades. And is it worth a revisit? Maybe it is.
I'd like to watch it again.
We were on
1996,
it. Yeah, we were watching it, and it was something like Now TV or something, and Deb was like, "I haven't watched that for ages." So we all were watching, and I was like, "I forgot how much of a great film this was."
Again, it's
the actor's name's Oliver Platt, and I think he's Oliver Platt the third or something, and I'm sure he's like Princess Diana's cousin or something.
Is he?
From a three-quite wealthy family.
In real life?
Yeah, in real life, yeah.
Is he, yeah?
Wow.
Yeah.
Because he was in, like, the Three Musketeers, and that, wasn't he? That Oliver Platt.
He was in everything in the early 90s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then started doing comedy, and he's doing a lot of Dick Wolf stuff now.
Mm. Oh, good stuff. And our mate, our old John Leguizamo. He's in it as well.
Yes.
Sid the Sloth.
That's the one, yeah. Luigi Mario himself. I wouldn't mind watching that again, because as I say, it's a long, long time since I've seen it, but it's always stuck with me, that film. And that scene when it is going from plane to plane, it's quite nerve-wracking, and it's quite good. Again. All right, any more like that? Any more terrorist-y one? Terrorists on planes?
Well, hang on, what about... Well, I tell you what, before we talk about Air Force One, which has got to be the biggie, I think I've just found... I found this film that I was going to... It's called I think it's called Breaking the Sound Barrier, 1952, and it is about breaking the sound barrier. And it's just... It's a brilliant, brilliant film. It's a really, really good watch. Just sit down. It's on for it. Obviously, back then, they're not on for a long time. But it's so sad as well. Obviously, a true story about how to break the sound barrier. I'm trying to think whether it would have been set before the war or during the war. I can't remember, but I want to go and watch that now. But there you go, Breaking the Sound Barrier. I think it's called that. If it's not, we can edit all this, can't we?
Oh yeah, definitely edit all this out. Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway,
definitely gonna
let's
spend
go
time
back to this. Let's go back to Air Force One, starring the amazing Gary Oldman.
Is it starring Gary Oldman though?
Yes, yeah. Who, sure. Well, who else is in it?
The poster doesn't say Gary Oldman's name.
It does. It has to.
It says somebody called Harrison and somebody called Ford. Like, I don't know these
Ford,
two people.
Ford Harrison? No.
Yeah.
Ford
Harrison.
I think
John Harrison and William Ford. I don't know who they are, like. Now, Air Force One, yeah. Harrison Ford plays the president. Gary Oldman plays... Does he play the vice president?
No, he's the bad guy. He's the Russian bad guy.
Oh, yeah. He's the bad guy. Of course he is. Yeah, of course he is. Yeah, again, it's terrorist on a plane. It is good. It is a good film.
With one of the best lines out of all the films, doesn't he say something like, what was it about, get off my plane, or, you know, something really corny like that. a president who's very physical, but, yeah.
Yeah, gets involved, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. He says, get off my plane, yeah. What are we feeling about Harrison Ford? Is he a good president or not?
Yes. Yeah, I liked him in it.
Yeah. Best who's the best president?
I can answer this one.
Go on.
What's his name? Off 24. President Palmer off 24.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
oh, I've just spoiled it if people haven't watched 24.
Well, that's the end of the first series. That you do, that's all right, that. You do see that.
Yeah,
it's only series two. For me, it's got to be the president out of Independence Day. Just like his
Bill
iconic...
Pullman.
Yeah, his iconic speech.
Yeah,
and throwing
Debo from Friday.
It was here.
He was the actor who played Debo in Friday.
Is it, yeah?
Yeah, Ice Cube film, yeah.
Yeah, I was watching that the night. I didn't see
him. He's the ghetto bully.
Is he?
I'll think of the actor's name. He's he died recently, unfortunately, as well.
Has he? Wow.
Yeah.
That's mad, isn't it? That's a good film, Friday. Friday's it's a great film. I forgot how good it was. You know, like I watched the first half an hour or so and fell asleep, and I forgot how good it is.
Even the second one's funny.
Yeah. Next Friday. And what's the next one called? Friday After Next.
I see Friday After Next. I can't remember what
it was. Like it. So who was it that died? What's it? Tom Lister Jr.
Is that it? Yeah.
Is that him? Sad, isn't it? Is that when he died? But yeah. Air Force One is a good one. Any more like that?
I can't think of any more now.
Has anyone seen Taken on a plane? Liam Neeson, where he's on a plane.
is that non-stop? He's non-stop, done it on a plane. He's done, or is that the train one?
Let me have a look. There's one called Non-Stop, isn't he?
Yeah, definitely.
Because he went through a phase, Liam Neeson, hasn't he, where he's just done, like, so he's done Taken, and then he's just done a load of Taken clones that star him.
Yeah.
It's its own little subject. The subgenre.
There was the one when he's the ex-cop as well.
Can't think of that.
That's involved in kidnapping and things as well. And he's like a private investigator.
Oh, is it A Walk Amongst the Tombstones, that one?
Yes.
Oh, I like that, you know. I thought that was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Non-Stop. Julianne Moore. There you go. An air marshal springs into action during a transatlantic flight. After receiving a series of text messages demanding $150 million into an offshore account, or someone will die every 20 minutes. So it sounds like Passenger 57, but with Liam Neeson.
I think I've seen this. I don't know. No, I'm getting mixed up with the train one. No, because he gets I'm sure he gets text messages on the train. What's the train one called?
Let's find out. Taken on a train? No, it's not that. Can't quite see. We'll have to find out, won't we? Liam Neeson, let's see. But yeah, he has got his own little subgenre there, like.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson action films.
Hang on.
No, I'll have a look.
He can't use Star Wars, to be fair, Liam.
He's in Derry Girls.
I think he's done a cameo in the new series, I think.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that was one, Jeff.
Was The Commuter. It's The Commuter I'm thinking of.
Oh, right.
I think he's basically, he is a commuter on a train. An insurance salesman / ex-cop is caught up in a life-threatening conspiracy during his daily commute home. and it's exactly the same thing, unfortunately. Yeah. But you know, it's got a decent rating, to be honest. But,
it's funny because they're obviously successful films. It doesn't matter like what the quality are, but they do tend to be enjoyable films. They're sort of mindless action films with a bit of heart to them, you know, like a bit of backstory or whatever. And Liam Neeson's really watchable. So, you know, no qualms for me. Like, but are we at one? Yeah, non-stop. I'm seeing that one. Would you recommend it, Richard?
As I say, I think I'm getting it mixed up with The Commuter. But equally, I think I've seen it. It seems to ring a bell where he's looking around frantically trying to find out, is the person there? Or, yeah, I can't think now. Can't think.
So, that's the watch one. All right, so any more Terrace Billy ones? If that's even a word?
I can't think of any.
No. Okay. What's next then, Richard?
What about comedies?
Comedies. Are there any comedies about planes or whatever? No.
Well, obviously there is. I didn't realise this has got a longer title to it. Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines.
Yeah.
Just great. Really stupid comedy. But it's got a longer title. I can't find it right now, unfortunately. But it's something like Those Magnificent Men in Their Flying Machines, or How I Learned to Fly from Paris to London in 23 hours. Oh, here we go. How I Flew from London to Paris in 25 hours and 11 minutes. One of those silly long titles. I never knew that until now. 1965. Just, would you, it could almost class it as an Ealing comedy type of farce. Stupid, fun, Terry Thomas in it as the typical hello type of, you know, character. And I suppose it's like Monte Carlo or Bust, but in the sky. Very similar films.
Yeah.
Competition of how you're going to get from London to Paris, as it says. And then you've got haven't you got Auric Goldfinger in it as well?
Yeah.
What's his name? I can't think of his name. Gert Frobe. Gert Frobe.
Yep.
And he's, this is only 20 years after the war. And we're talking about how recent things feel at the moment. But he is such a German in it. And they've written him as a proper full-on, you know, very anal German.
On the verge of being racist, if that's even possible.
Yeah, yes. And then you've got the carefree. Now, hang on, I'm getting mixed up with Monte Carlo or Bust here. I think there's a carefree American. And there's the bit of a love interest. I think the carefree American is Robert Morley. I think I might be wrong. And then the Sarah Miles, she's the, a woman can't do it type of thing. Now, that's not me saying it. That's the way the film's portraying it, you know. Gosh, look, there's a woman. God, we've got Benny Hill in it as well.
Yeah, Benny Hill. Terry Thomas. Eric Sykes.
It's just proper good old-fashioned British comedy. It's his best, I reckon, things like that.
It's a little bit like it's a mad, 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 mad world as well.
Oh, yes.
Sort of like where you've got all these little sort of side stories going on. And they all accumulate into one big thing. Or, you know, Cannonball Run is a similar sort of thing as well. It's sort of all these little stories that come together in one big thing. Yeah. Again, I've seen it a long time ago, but I don't remember much about it, to be honest. But, yeah, I do remember enjoying it.
What did it get? It got 7 on IMDb. And, as I've mentioned it, Monte Carlo or Bus got 6.1. Great films. Really, really great films. I've got that on disc, and I feel it's a long, if I remember rightly, it's pretty long, 2 hours 20. Now, back then, that's a long time.
Yeah, 1965. So, yeah, that is long for a film.
I feel like watching that again as well now. I think this has been quite a good topic because it's bringing back a lot of things that we keep saying we're going to have to go back and look at it.
Definitely.
Which is you know, the purpose of Film Club is to not just constantly look through Netflix and Amazon and feel a bit deflated about what's on, but go back and view things that we know we enjoy. I need to get Top Gun as well. I don't have that on disc, and I feel like I need to watch it.
I'm sure if you wait for Maverick to come out on disc, I'm sure you'll get a nice double pack of Blu-ray.
Yes, yeah, they will, won't they? They'll do that.
Don't know why I said it that way, by the way. Blu-ray. I don't know why I said that.
Blu-ray.
Any more comedy aviation films that we can think of that might have airplanes in them or...
There's Airplane 2.
Airplane 2?
That's a space shuttle, sorry. Airplane, of course. Now, for those listeners who remember our comedy podcast, Airplane is my all-time, I think it is anyway, my all-time favourite comedy because... Yeah. Every single time I watch it, even though I know exactly what's going to happen, I laugh, but I think I laugh more and more each time because it doesn't grow old. It never grows old. The stupid comedy. It's a proper Zucker. Is it Zucker Brothers? I can't remember. Also, who directed it. And they're just renowned for their stupid comedy, sort of Naked Gun Police Squad. Type of humour, really stupid, and I'm made up that it's gone to Netflix, only Airplane, not Airplane 2. And a quick shout out for Top Secret, which stars Val Kilmer, which again is as stupid as it comes, but also The Big Bus, which I mentioned a long, long time ago. All stupid comedies, but brilliant. Airplane.
In a similar vein, I'm not too sure it's the same writers or whatever, but Hot Shots as well. So Hot Shots is taking the piss out of Top Gun.
Yeah.
And it's again the same sort of comedy, isn't it? Who's that? Charlie Sheen, is it?
Yes.
Charlie Sheen. Yeah. Oh, great film. Dead funny.
It's a quick look who directed Hot Shots. Well, I would never know. And I always wonder if is it down to the director or is it down to the writers? Because you always assume if a film's similar, it's directed by... But it could be written, couldn't it?
Yeah.
It could be written by the same person, not directed. I remember Hot Shots Part 2 was absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
So stupid. here we go. It was directed by... Yeah, Jim Abrahams. He was one of them. So it was Abrahams, Zucker. Same... What do you call it? Sort of comedy director team. Factory. And he was co-writer as well. So that's why that humor's there as well.
I think we've talked about Airplane. We've talked about Airplane before in the past and said about it that it was, they took a script from a previous film which exists and used the same dialogue, the same story.
It was a serious one. It was a deadpan. And they said ridiculous things like, stewardess, everybody on the plane who had the fish is becoming ill. And what did you have, Captain? And it's so deadpan. And it's like, I had the fish. And what did the co-pilot have? He had the fish as well. And then the music goes bonkers. And, you know, oh, my God, they're all going to come down. And it's like, there's only... it's so good. There's something... I'm sure there's something on YouTube where it'll play one scene from one film, then the exact same scene, word for word, but in a comedy. It's so funny.
It's fantastic. It's a really clever idea, isn't it? Because, you know, you've got that film structure in. It's not just like some comedy films end up being a farce in terms of, you know, there's no plot. And it's just like, you know, they've got no ending to it. Whereas there is a story to this film. You could watch it seriously if you ignored all the silliness. It has got a story to it. It might not be like a super inventive story, but it's a good structured story, isn't it? You know, Airplane, it's a cracker film. 7.7, do we agree with that?
You know what? That's surprising, because we often say comedies don't get highly rated. We always say horrors and comedies don't get highly rated. That's pretty good, that. That is pretty good.
Yeah. It's better than that, though. It's better than Seven.
What's the sequel?
Not sure. Let's have a look.
Because I know we always talk about sequels and never good. I think it is just as good, because they just do more and more stupid jokes. And if you like one, you've got to like the other.
Yeah, no, I can't get on.
I have got it now. So it was 2 years later, Airplane 2, the sequel, and that was 6.1. Wow.
That's a big drop, isn't it?
That's surprising, that. Just out of interest, because it's the same stupid humour, Top Secret, which was 2 years again.
That was 7.2. Yeah.
That's a stupid film, that.
I remember Top Secret more than I do Airplane as a kid, which is fair. I must have watched it more and more. I know we taped it off the telly. We had it on. We've got it. Well, we've still got it. It's in the house, in my dad's house. It's on VHS, taped off the telly. ITV, yeah, it was on. There you go.
Oh, hey, you know what I love when you do that is you get all the adverts, don't you, as well?
Yeah.
So you get the adverts for like Marathon Bar or Opal Fruits. And our younger listeners will be thinking, what the hell's a Marathon Bar and what's Opal Fruit Starburst, aren't they?
I said that to someone the other day. I said to a couple of kids the other day, I said, do you know what a Marathon Bar is? And they were going, no. I said, that's what a Snickers used to be called. And I, do you know what Opal Fruits are? No, not a clue.
No.
Starburst. Mother it. But there you go. Time moves on.
Mm.
Anyway, back to aviation. Any more comedy ones? Have you got any that you can think of?
No.
No, me neither. The same ones I can think of. But yeah, Hot Shots, a good one. Okay, any other sort of other aviation films you can think of? I was maybe sort of real to life ones. I was thinking of things like Flight with Denzel Washington.
That's heavy, film. That one. That is a heavy film.
Yeah, it is hard to watch. So tells the story of, I'm not sure of the fella's name, but basically it's an airline pilot who, does he fly the plane upside down or something? Is that what happens?
Yeah, he has to invert the control.
Is that that one?
Yeah, and then safely lands it, and then it turns out when he's getting sort of tested afterwards, he's a big alcoholic, he's a big drug user, he's a womanizer and all these sort of things, and it sort of flashes back to before the accident and shows his heavy lifestyle, should we say, and how people see him. So he's sort of cast as this big hero at first, and then turns out that, you know, he's got these demons, and he's then seen as you know, was it his fault? Did the accident happen because of him, basically? It's a cracker film, but you're right there, Richard. It is heavy going. It's very serious, you know.
Yeah. It surprised me, the ending as well, which is what I liked. It didn't go the way you thought it might.
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, what he was doing was so irresponsible. But I think there was some sort of mechanical failure, and he landed it. And it hadn't got anything to do with that, but the fact that he'd had his drink and his drugs beforehand.
Yeah.
They were saying, well, it doesn't matter, you were flying it under the influence. But he kept saying, in his defence, he kept saying, yeah, but I averted everybody dying, you know, I stopped that happening. It's a really, really good film. It surprised me. It was great. It was really, really good.
It's a great film. And I'm just trying to look at the awards, but my internet's running a bit slow today. But it's sort of in the same category as Sully, which was Tom Hanks.
I've never seen Sully.
No, me neither.
Incidentally, Flight was two Oscars it was nominated for.
Oh, there you go.
But I've not seen Sully. Best performance in best actor and best writing, basically.
There you go.
Was nominated for. But no, I've not seen Sully. And it's been on one of the streaming services for ages, hasn't it?
We'll have to watch that.
Yeah. So it's Tom Hanks, and it tells the story of the pilot who, again, averted a crash, And they land in the Hudson River, is that right?
Yeah.
And saved everyone's lives, which is amazing. So yeah, and you know, Tom Hanks is very watchable. You can watch him in most things.
Yeah, we've said that before. Haven't
don't
we?
Think he does a bad performance, does he?
No. Nominated for one Oscar.
I was going to say, what did it get?
Well, it's one of those weird ones at sound editing. I always think that it's like, it's an unusual one, but equally we shouldn't take it away from Alan Robert Murray and Bob Asman. But I always think things like that are a bit of an unusual award.
Yeah.
And directed by Clint Eastwood as well.
Yeah.
And he's now getting some really big hitters up there as well.
Yeah, so again, we'll have to watch Sully. Is it on anything to be said? Did you say it's on Netflix or anything? It's not on Prime.
It used to be on something for a long time, and I'm assuming it's going to still be there. So while we check our... You know what, every time I try and go into this Just Watch, I always go into the IMDb app. But on the Just Watch app, I will quickly type it in while you sing us a little song or something.
Well, while you're typing into Just Watch, we've said before, I mean, that app is brilliant. And, you can set it to the streaming sites that you've got, so it's personalised to you and just tells you whether it's out or not and what's it on.
It says if it's free...
Go on.
Here we go. It's on Netflix still, and in HD. It's HD on Netflix, and what's the Infinity one? Is that Virgin?
Yeah.
Then it gives you all the rental prices in order, ascending order, and then it gives you the buying prices in ascending order, and whether it's HD or what. It's a great little app. I think James told us about it. And then, of course, if you scroll down, it does basically like an IMDb. If you like that, you'll also like this, or a quick synopsis about it, who's in it. It's quite a nice little app.
It is. It's a good app. Yeah.
But, yeah, so what did I say? Netflix. So we need to go watch that on Netflix.
All right. That's our own way. So we're going to watch Sully. We're going to go away. I'm going to watch Executive Decision. Passenger 57. I'm going to go and try and find that as well.
There's loads. Yeah.
We've got a bit of homework for you boys. Sorry.
Yeah.
Any more that stick out that we haven't mentioned? Any obvious ones? Hot air balloon films?
I was wondering about that, and I can't. There is one. There's a recent one.
Yeah, Eddie Redmayne, but I haven't seen it.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that's about. I can't remember. No, I can't remember. I've seen it. And the reason why it sticks in my head is because I know a hot air balloon pilot.
Oh.
It's not really that interesting, to be honest.
Is that what they're called? Are they called pilots?
They're called pilots, yeah.
There you go, see.
But it was weird because he's dead young and it's like, so you're a hot air balloon pilot? And it's like, yeah. It's like, well, and he goes all over the world, but it's not like... Yeah, I think it's just like a normal job to them, isn't it? Because your job is your normal job. I think it's called the Aeronauts. There we go, the Aeronauts. 2019. James Glacier is the pilot. And it's got Felicity Jones and Eddie Redmayne and lots of other people who I'm not sure of. But 6.6. Balloon pilot and a scientist find themselves in a flight for survival while attempting to make discoveries in a gas balloon. And it's set like a long time ago.
Mm.
You can just tell by the way the balloon is.
Yeah, I can't say
I've heard
that one.
Yeah, the Aeronauts.
So what about, again, this is the theme tonight. I haven't seen this, I haven't seen that. What about The Aviator? Martin Scorsese, Leonardo DiCaprio. Is that an aviation film?
I think I've seen it. Leonardo, isn't it? And
Cate Blanchett.
I think I've seen it. I always get it mixed up with Gatsby. It's a big film, obviously more of a biography.
So does it count or not?
It's a biography. I don't remember the... I mean, you could almost say, well, if we're going to talk about that, we may as well talk about Indiana Jones and the whatever it is when he's on a hot airship.
Tell what the fifth one's called. Indiana Jones and the whatever he's in an airship.
There's one I keep forgetting to say, and it's come back to me. So, we can brilliantly edit this. So, if I say Firefox with Clint Eastwood, either of you seen that?
No, I know what you mean, though.
So it's an 80s film. Basically, the Russians come up with a new aircraft called Firefox. And the Americans decide they want it, so they go and steal it. Good old America, hey? Never change. And they use Clint Eastwood because he's got a Russian mother or father, I can't remember, but some sort of Russian in his past, in his family history. And it's a little bit like Blue Thunder in that the technology back then seemed mind-blowing, and now it seems like very... you know, very basic, but it would fly off your thoughts, but you had to think in Russian. Now, because of his upbringing, he could think in Russian. But all I can remember back then is when I was a kid watching it was the flight scenes, a little bit like, not as good as Top Gun, but as realistic back then and as amazing and as exciting as Top Gun was. So when he steals it, basically they send another one after him to try and shoot him down. And shits and giggles and all of that. So it's just a good film, nice film.
With action.
A bit of a difference for Clint Eastwood, who's gone through all of the, obviously, the westerns that we've talked about in the past and his Dirty Harry type of films, and then he's come... I'm trying to think, did he actually direct it?
I
thought he was... I thought he was only directing recently. Well, in the last 20 years or so. Gosh. What did that get?
It was 6.7, was it?
It's not too bad. 1982. Mm. Feels a lot older. Pilot is sent into Soviet Union. Sorry, I called it Russia, didn't I? The Soviet Union on a mission to steal a prototype fighter jet. Yeah, controlled by a neural link. Yeah, Clint Eastwood directed it.
Well, that reminded me of another one, which I was going to mention, but I forgot about. Broken Arrow, which is John Travolta and Christian Slater.
Christian Slater, yeah.
Nuclear warhead is stolen. I think it's stolen on a stealth bomber. I think that's what it's on.
Yes.
And that's where it comes from. A broken arrow is a nuclear bomb gone AWOL, basically. Yeah. And they're charged with going back and getting it. And again, I haven't seen it since I was a kid, but I really enjoyed it. 6.1 on IMDb from 1996. John Travolta and Christian Slater, as I say, just doing a good job. John Woo directed it, so, you know, it's all the action and stuff is good. Good set pieces. Very 90s action.
Well, you know what's funny is that there doesn't seem to be anything after 2000s that has been significant, certainly not that we've really talked about. So 80s, 90s, and then that seems to be it.
Mm.
For the biggies, maybe Top Gun or maybe Maverick, will get that going again.
Yeah, a resurgence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds okay. Is there any more that we haven't mentioned from any sort of genre or... anything that sticks out we haven't mentioned, you think?
I think we've done well. I think we've done well there.
I think we've talked about films we haven't seen.
Yes.
So it's given us a bit of homework. So, yeah, we'll finish there then, gents. And do you agree with our opinions? Are we criminals for not seeing all these films? I know you do, Richard.
I agree with our opinions.
We're asking for the listeners now. Sorry, I was addressing the listeners. Sorry, listeners, Richard interrupted there. So do you agree with our opinions? Is there any sort of glaring omissions we haven't seen or, you know, we haven't mentioned tonight? Let us know. Always get in contact on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, or you can email us, chatandflicks@hotmail.com. And Richard, our next episode is going to be...
I was talking about this before, and I can't remember what it's going to be. Lee, can you remember?
No.
There as well. Our listeners would have been
listener.
No, I did. I told you because somebody else. No, I put it on the chat, Carl. You're rubbish. About one of our colleagues wants to join in on George Segal films. It's either George Segal or Steven Seagal.
Stevie, baby. Stevie Segal. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we might get, yeah. might have something in the works to do there.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting. Because, again, his films were brilliant. Obviously, biggest one was going to be On Siege, do we think? There's loads.
Yeah.
There's loads. I used to love him.
I'd go with
that. I used to love him.
Anyway, so, we'll talk about the next episode anyway. So, thanks for listening, everybody. Take care, and we'll see you next episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.